going to start digging in a minute, I can tell. There it goes. That's right, George. That's right. Nice, George. You see, it's all very simple if you keep your head.
Well, I do hope he doesn't hurt that bone.
Isn't he a nice little dog? Isn't he a strong little man, David? Oh, he's got something. He's got something. Come on, David. We're helping. Dig.
I'm digging.
Oh, I feel something. I feel something.
Oh, I hope it didn't hurt.
Oh, look, David, a boot.
A boot?
Don't hit George, David.
I wasn't going to hit George.
Now, George, that was fine, but now you've got to concentrate again. David has to find his bone. No, not in there. Isn't this fun, David? Just like a game.
Oh, yes.
Now, George, if you get tired of digging, you just tell David and Susan where you hit it, and they'll dig.
Every time I look down on this timeless town, whether blue or gray be her skies, whether loud be her cheers or whether soft be her tears, more and more do I realize that I love Paris in the springtime.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas. And Damien.
Damien. He's a little wet tonight.
Oh, yeah, he's not here.
He is wet, though.
No, he's not. He's
not
at
our
home.
Fault, though.
He's at home. He never left the house.
He never left the house. He was like, rain, fuck these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Rain trumps the podcast every time. Actually, back home or here, rain trumps everything every time. It's crazy.
The world just shuts down.
It does. It does. I mean,
Jamaica goes, it's rain outside. I think I'm going to stay home in my bed.
Yeah.
I wish I worked in places where they kind of did that, because generally I'm always at work.
Oh yeah.
I'm working.
Me too. But it's crazy. I mean, nobody goes to work. If you're actually on the road, you decide to drive at about 2 miles an hour. And if you're not on the road, you have to go on the road so that traffic all builds up. It's just, I don't understand it.
So yeah, this is going to be very different from what we planned. We're still going to talk about the film that we watched, because if we don't talk about it, it kind of feels like more of a waste of time than actually watching the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry if that kind of spoiled the review for you. This week, Damien asked us, and I generally believe this is a thing that he does whenever any of us does this, where we pick our movies and then don't show up to talk about our movies. I think it's a definite sign of just sabotage, of some form of podcasting sabotage. Or he's like, we're like, you know what, it'd be funny if I make these guys watch this movie.
Exactly. He's like, oh, they're going to hate this one. Wish I was there for it. No, I don't. I'll hear it on the podcast.
You'll hear it on the podcast. The movie we watched today for the podcast was this film entitled Populaire.
Elle est nulle pour tout. Mais quand elle tape à la machine, elle est rapide, puissante et concentrée, tu vas voir.
Participer à un concours.
Va participer. Gagner.
I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. It's a French film about a small town insurance agent who hires a secretary and discovers that she might be the greatest typist of all time. See, no, I can see Douglas laughing at me. He no longer can hide it from me through the internet. I can see him do it. and so, being the fact that he used to be this athlete who always wanted to be a champion, and he sees a champion in her, he trains her to be the champion typist that he knows she is. And we follow along as his trainer and athlete. Can we call her an athlete?
Sure.
Okay. rise to fame and go through all of their romantic bullshit along the way.
Yep.
So I did the intro, so Douglas, you
okay, it's
about
my turn. Alright, I'll talk about this movie.
Wait, no, we should ask Damien. What do you think, Damien? You think this is the greatest movie ever made? Really? Like, what was it that you kind of liked so much? Was it her typing? The fact that she started with two fingers, and then she painted her fingers for all 10? Yeah? Okay, all right. Nothing else, though. Right, all right. That's what you liked. Douglas?
Damien. This movie, Populaire, it... Wow. Okay, so this movie is actually, it's a very lighthearted kind of romance movie. Very, I don't want to quite say tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, I think there are a lot of moments in this movie where it's about to kind of get a joke or two in there, and it just never quite delivers. And that's what I didn't really, I was a bit underwhelmed by this movie because of that. And the movie that I would compare this with that worked, right? And worked, at least for me, well. I know that, you know, some people do, some people don't like this one. But I'm a big fan of Down with Love with Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger. And what that movie did well, at least did not, was the comedic part of it, right? It is kind of similar. It's a romance. It's a period piece, I guess you could call it. It's a piece, you know, based in about the 50s or the 60s. And you very much get the vibe, but more of an exaggerated four laughs kind of vibe of that time. And I really, really love that movie. But this one didn't quite catch that, at least not for me. You know, it was very similar in a sense. Again, it was based in the 50s, actually. You get that whole vibe with, you know, men are the champions of industry and women only are around for one of two things, being wives and popping out babies, or becoming secretaries. And if you are a secretary, you are the toast of the town, because you get to, in her words, I believe, travel around, you know, in luxury, and to support your
luxury
support the man. So this movie, I think it had a lot of potential. The romance side of it, there was nothing wrong with it. I was actually pretty okay. But that's not something that I necessarily, at least the way that this kind of a movie pulls off the romantic side, that's not something that I get really that much into. But yeah, it I suppose succeeded in that. But what I really would have wanted more from this movie was that whole vibe and ambiance, the fact that this is the 50s, the fact that things have changed between now and then about gender roles. And it's clear, at least to me, I mean, maybe you can tell me, or somebody else who has seen this can tweet us or email us and let us know what they thought. But I thought that it was clear that this movie was actually trying to go the way of Down with Love, with that comedy, with that kind of, you know, look at where we've come, or kind of look at what this was, and isn't that kind of funny? But it just didn't quite work, you know. I didn't laugh at very many instances, and I didn't even feel that, because there are some comedies where, despite what Damien says, and I'm sure he's going to hold this against me for about the rest of my life, there's some comedies, yeah, just about that. There's some comedies where, even though it's funny and I like it, I don't laugh out loud too tough. But this wasn't even one of those.
You realize that's what I've said before.
I know.
And
yeah,
the two of you,
yeah,
have just
yeah,
on continually. Yeah,
but you said it, so. But it just didn't work in that regard, and everything else was kind of just okay. So I wouldn't put down this movie. I wouldn't say it's, you know, horrible, it's the worst thing in the world. It was okay, and that's about it. When I was kind of hoping, especially after the first few minutes and realizing where it was going and what it was doing, I was hoping for much more.
So this movie, I agree with you so much. Because the thing about this movie is that at the end of the day, I kind of write it down as a completely inoffensive, really light movie. That the only reason why I would be completely vitriolic about it is that it's so inoffensive. And the way that I mean those things is that I've come over the years to realize that there's something really annoying to be about a movie which I don't necessarily find anything specifically to hate it completely, and I don't find anything to love it completely about. I just see everything as like, okay, so if I were this person, you're definitely playing straight to them in such a formulaic manner that, yeah, they'd like it, but I don't think even they would remember this movie, like, if you ask them about it a week later. Like, not just me, who is being like, okay, I watched 20 movies this week, so of course that's the one I'm going to forget, kind of deal. Like, our mother sat down beside us as she for a while watching this movie, and she admitted it was something that she would have liked. You know, she tends not to watch foreign films because she doesn't like to read subtitles, but it was obvious that she was reading some of them while the movie was going on. She was laughing and she was enjoying it. I don't know if it was partially because she used to be a secretary and she was going...
You know what's funny? There was a point, Andrew, where she was like, she pulled a Nicholas, where she's like, but this doesn't make sense. When you're typing, you already... The only way you can type that fast is if you can't see. And then, though, they're training her not to see, but she must already know how to do this. Like, she totally pulled a Nicholas, where all the time, sometimes I just get upset with him. Because there will be a movie and they'll make, like, the slightest of nods towards, you know, maybe this person has a flu. Or maybe he has, like, a cough. And Nicholas is like, no, that can't be a cough because his respiratory tract is... these guys get it all wrong. And I'm just like, oh.
Isn't it fun to have a doctor in the house?
Yeah. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I don't really want to be completely just like, oh, fuck this movie. Because it does that, and it does that okay. But just like you, where I could see where all the jokes were going. I could see where all the stories were going. I could see where everything was happening. And even like this little film that this movie had over it, which we kind of see, and you would be able to tell this more than us, more than me and Damien. The silly French nature of it, where they kind of went like they were hinting towards that silly French nature, but they didn't quite go full into it, ever.
No, they did not go full retard, unfortunately.
Because, I mean, we have seen some silly French movies, mainly thanks to Douglas. And and it, you could just see them. You could see them going like, okay, so you're going to have the colors, which look so striking, and everything just looks so like this, and then everyone's hair is perfect, but their faces are all messed up. You're going to have all of these quirky ass things, but none of it actually goes to being funny.
Actually, speaking of the aesthetic, was I the only one that thought that the main character had like monster teeth? He had weird teeth.
I wasn't paying attention to his teeth, I have to be honest.
Because what happened was, I think when he like does a full on smile or something, you're like, oh no, there's nothing really wrong with his teeth. But while he's, you know, talking or just moving around and his mouth is kind of a little bit open, it's like you see jagged edges kind of peeking out from underneath his lips. And I'm like, what's wrong with this guy's teeth?
Well, I've been seeing something like that about Harvey Specter for around 2 seasons. Where Harvey Specter from Suits.
That's a character name. I'm like, who is that? Okay.
Where his mouth looks kind of like he was supposed to be the Joker in something.
Yeah, he does. He does have a distinctive smile. I agree with that.
It's not so much when he smiles; it's when he has no expression and his mouth is closed. You just kind of see these things at the side.
Yeah,
of his mouth.
He has kind of pronounced cheeks and that. Yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
Well, we're going completely far away from what we're supposed to be talking about. But yeah. This movie, it's just boring. That's what it is to me.
I don't want to say that, though. It wasn't... Again, right? This movie just... It wasn't hot and it wasn't cold. It was just tepid. It was warm. It was room temperature, is what this movie was.
Like, all right, let me explain something. When it comes to comedy and all of the other genres of film, comedy especially, comedy and horror, it kind of laps up into the most. And I think Matt Price touched on it the best when he was talking about on a recent memo about why he tends to not really watch horror. You've heard this.
Yeah, actually, I was just talking to you about this podcast today. I didn't realize you made and I'm so upset with you now because you made absolutely no indication to me at all that you had listened to that podcast.
I listened to it after you talked about it.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, no, you are forgiven.
I am forgiven. So yes, I did hear him say that there is one with hair and one without. That's how he distinguished us. But whatever. So he was talking about horror, and this is something that I totally buy into, which is the fact that there's a point in your life where, as a guy, you're not supposed to be scared by shit. You're supposed to be a man. And this is when Damon would cue in, of course I'm a man, and all that shit.
In tight.
So like, you eventually get to a point with horror films where you can see all of the things coming. You can hear the music go down, and you can see that they're about to have someone go peekaboo from around the corner. And you're supposed to jump, and you'll have that moment of, oh, I got scared, I'm now happy as a horror fan. But as a guy who had, like, lots of guy friends who would then mock you for being scared in a movie which was intentionally supposed to scare you, slowly you condition yourself to not being scared. Or eventually you decide, I don't like those movies, because you figured it out and you're like, I'm done with those. Which is, I guess, kind of what we've done with these movies.
I wouldn't say that for me, but sure, okay.
To some extent, maybe that route, but something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy is very much like that, where if you want, and he even mentioned this, if you want to be, you can be that completely skeptical, cynical person who goes, oh, I see where you are going there. That's kind of funny, but fuck you, I'm not laughing. Right? And the thing about it is, with this movie, it felt like that for me, where every moment I went, oh, I see where the funny is there. I saw it from 2 miles ago, so fuck you, I'm not laughing at that. And, I mean, like, there are comedies which break this. So, like, This Is the End, which is something which we can see them coming a mile away, but regardless, something about it just makes us break it into laughter.
You know what it is? Because you see the setup, right? And then it sets it up, and you see the joke, but you expect the joke to be here. But then when the punchline hits, they hit straight through that bar and go about 10 miles high. And you're like, whoa! Because you get just surprised by the joke, how funny it is or how far they go with it. Because you figure, all right, he's going to get punched in the face. And then all of a sudden, like, a bulldozer runs over him. Or something along those lines.
And the thing about it is that if you're someone who hasn't seen enough films which break that barrier for you, or you haven't seen that many movies which hit here, as you put it, wherever that bar is for you mentally, when a movie comes that only goes there, that's enough for you. And you're happy. And I'm fine if someone out there saw Populaire and thought it was the funniest, quirkiest, most lovable little film of all time.
And I thank the Lords that the intern no longer listens to this podcast, because this has been on her radar ever since it came out. She just called me last night, coincidentally, to say that somebody out here was showing it, and I'm pretty sure she went, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to go over there tomorrow, and she's going to tell me how much she loved it.
Douglas, just nod. when she does it, just nod. So yeah, I saw that too. How do you like that moment? Just don't acknowledge. Just nod.
Yeah.
And then put on This Is the End.
No, I've already been told that I'm not allowed to do that. She's not watching that movie ever. I wish she would though, but I kind of wish she would. I don't know.
Whatever. I think we're done with this movie.
Yes,
is there
we
anything
are.
Else you want to say
no,
about this movie?
Absolutely not.
We should have an intern review of this movie.
That would be fun, yes.
And just have her call in one day, like, not to enter into this conversation, because then she'll She just give me evil eyes as I say, fuck that joke. I'm not laughing at it. But just to hear her response, that'd be fun. Maybe we'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah. Okay, it's now time for our top. Oh wait, what's, we don't have a top five.
I'm happy because you skipped something.
I know I did.
We're moving into questions now, guys. Last week I had asked people about foreign filmmakers working in Hollywood, working in America, as to who their favorite filmmakers, foreign filmmakers that ended up working in America were. I'm curious, because I'm pretty sure you're not trolling my replies on Twitter or anything.
Not the replies. I saw when you... Actually, I didn't even see it on Twitter. I saw it on Facebook when you put up the question.
Can you guess as to who was the most... Because there were some repeat responses. Who was the most mentioned name?
So this is an imported
A foreign filmmaker
director.
That made movies in America.
Okay, and
some point.
The two that you mentioned, which were John Woo and I think Park Chan-wook,
they were not mentioned
they were
at
not,
all.
Okay, all right.
I'm guessing that might have been because I said that.
Yeah, no, I was actually going to ask you if those were like out of the question because you put it in
no,
there.
No, I just used
not
them
that,
as examples.
Okay, okay.
Because they were the ones that came to my mind when I first all right, thought of
so
the question.
So foreign director.
And remember, my followers are very much more cinephile than...
So, the first thing that popped to my head, I'm kind of thinking that it probably isn't, but I'm going to say it just because it was the first thing that popped into my head, is Werner Herzog.
He was not mentioned at all.
Wow. So,
the most mentioned name is Fritz Lang.
Okay, okay.
And don't ask me what movie he made in America, because I'm not quite
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I know a lot of his foreign stuff.
I know him as the guy who made M and Metropolis, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and stuff that I'm kind of
yeah.
catching into now.
Yeah.
I don't know what he made in America. I should have Googled this by now before I sat down.
Probably. Yeah. And you realize that you could be Googling it right now while we talk, so that you could, you know, sound less unknowing. But... but you're not, because you are Andrew, and I understand this. Because 1 + 1, guess what? It does equal chicken, at least in your mind.
The question is, what would you be doing if you were you? Oh,
but
man.
Okay, Fritz Lang, I mean, that's like, wow, old movies, classic movies.
Classic movies.
Yeah.
There were a few classic names mentioned. Another big classic name that was mentioned comes from, where is this one? Comes from Brian Dar. Dar with two R's, so I'm not sure, like Dar or
Dar.
I apologize. at Hell on Frisco Bay, if I have mocked your name too much. But he brought up Murnau, and he's someone from like the silent era. And he made the first movie to win an Academy Award, which was Wings.
Okay, yeah.
I've not seen it. I just know.
I think we may have it.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay. I'm meaning to watch movies.
Yeah,
like
Nicholas, he's decided that he wants to, you know, get crazy in the movie thing. So I think he got a lot of like I see a bunch of Chaplin movies down there. Metropolis is one that I know is down there. We've got.
So yeah, just to mention, I realize I didn't say the guys who brought up Fritz Lang. There was Peter Labuza. There was Jaime.
It could be Jaime. If you're Spanish, it could be Jaime. what movie was I watching just today? It probably wasn't today, but very recently, with a young character by the name of Jaime. It was The Devil's Backbone.
The Devil's Backbone.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Spanish. and also Doug Tilly from the Above the Line podcast all brought up Fritz Lang. Also, Ryan McNeil.
Ryan. Ryan, what foolery, what tomfoolery are you up to now? What are you going to tell
from
me?
From the matinee, as well as Bubba Wheat from... Let me make sure I get the site name right, because it is a special site name.
Okay.
Flights, Tights, and MovieNights.com.
Ooh, I like that name.
Both put in their two cents for the one Mr. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, go fuck yourselves. Guillermo del Toro has... Let's talk about Guillermo for a second.
Okay, let's talk about Guillermo. Because we actually saw Guillermo movie this week.
We just recently, as I said, watched The Devil's Backbone, which is one of his earlier films, right?
Yes.
And in watching that and not liking it, well, not that I didn't like it, but it just wasn't that great. It was, again, another kind of boring or middle-of-the-road movie for me. So in watching that, I said to myself, why do I still watch his movies? And I wonder how many of his movies I've watched. And I look back at the numbers, and I've actually watched almost all of his movies. I think the only ones I haven't watched are the ones, or the only one probably I haven't watched. I think there are two, actually.
Chronos.
Chronos.
Both of us haven't seen that.
Right, so let's forget about that one. But other than that, the only one that I haven't watched is the one that everybody loves, and the one that even Damon is like, Douglas, you need to watch this. This is great. And that's Pan's Labyrinth. I still have not watched Pan's Labyrinth.
I should get
but
you to watch
I've watched everything then. Else. And to be fair, the guy makes really pretty movies.
You know what the truth is? My favorite things about his movies, mm-hmm. now that I'm looking... Like, I was looking at the list and watching them. For the most part, they all come from a very childlike perspective.
Yes, they do.
And I love that about these movies. Like, even The Devil's Backbone, mm-hmm. my favorite thing about that movie, and it was in a few movies that I saw this week past, was that you could walk away from that movie and go, fuck adults. They're the worst. Right? I never want to be an adult ever.
Yeah. No, that was... Yeah. I mean, as I said, it was alright. It was not bad. Right? I have really bad feelings about some of his movies. So, in that sense, it was actually a good movie for me. But the thing about him is he makes really pretty movies. Even with The Devil's Backbone, if you remember, because you told me it was a Del Toro movie. And for the first 5 minutes, I just sat there because I think I was eating something and I didn't have anything else to do. And after the first 5 minutes, I said to myself, actually, I said it out loud, and I'm
sure
you heard me.
I have to watch this.
Exactly, I have to watch this. Because it just looks so good. And this is actually a very simple movie. It's not one of his uber CG sort of movies that he's kind of known for now. It's very much, you know, kids running around and adults trying to take care of them for most of the movie. So, you know, even just the way that he moves the camera and the way he deals with his colors are great. But then when he gets some more money and makes things like, you know, Pan's Labyrinth or Hellboy, that's when he turns it up a notch and he's like, guys, I can make things really pretty. And to be fair, I love Pacific Rim, but I think that's the only movie that I like from him.
We need to fix that. Because at the very least, you have to have Pac Rim and Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, all right, fair enough, right?
Bag.
Fair enough.
Right? Like, I will accept
mm-hmm.
everything else as being like, eh. Just because, I mean, when you think about it, he did movies like Hellboy. Which
yes.
Hellboy is average. Like, I like Hellboy 2 because it's fun. Blade 2, I can accept people not liking
Blade
2
is
movie.
Horrible.
Right?
Horrible. And I always laugh at him because I remember when I did watch Blade 2, I watched it on DVD, and there's some extra features, and there was one with an interview with him where he spoke about Blade 2, and I don't know why you'd say this on an interview to be included in the DVD, but he was like, yeah, fuck this movie. I only did this movie because I wanted to do Hellboy, so yeah.
I
make fun of him because I'm like, okay, so fair enough, you did a bad movie to do another one. I hate your movie, Hellboy. So go fuck yourself. Like, I really don't like that movie. And I'm like,
thing,
wow.
The only thing I'm really happy about his turn into America,
yeah,
is his fascination with Ron Perlman.
Like, yes,
like,
he really
I
does
love
like
the
guy.
Fact that Ron Perlman just shows up in his movies, because he ends up like, I love Ron Perlman.
Ron yeah, Ron Perlman has a cool kind of swagger to him.
Ron
yeah.
Perlman is someone who he's an indicator that it is a bad movie.
Yep.
But the fact that he's in it tends to mean that there's something fun about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he tends to be that fun thing about it. I love him in Pac Rim. there was another one here. Dan Clinch, I hope I'm not ruining that name, mentions the guy who directed The Good, The Bad, The Weird, which
mm-hmm.
Is Kim Ji-woon, who mm-hmm. is the guy who made...
I think he did Bittersweet, and he also did...
As well as Wallet Knife.
Right, yes.
I'm trying to remember the name of that movie.
The Man From Nowhere,
The Man From Nowhere. And he also this year actually did the movie The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I love.
You sure he did The Man from Nowhere? You sure it's not I Saw the Devil?
He did I Saw the Devil.
Yeah. I don't think he did Man from Nowhere.
Actually, I am wrong about Man from Nowhere. He did I Saw the Devil, he did Good, Bad, Weird, he did Bits of Sweet Life. And this year he did do The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I'm pretty sure you haven't seen yet.
No, I still haven't watched it.
I saw that in January, and I still love that movie, because even though it's not that good a movie, it's a fun-ass movie.
Yeah, and that has yet another actor who I kind of take as an indication that something good is happening in this movie, which is, I can never remember his name, but he's in a bunch of things, and the one that I really kind of, he stands out with me for. It's probably because it's a standout movie for me. Again, another podcast where I talk about The Big Lebowski. He is the nihilist in The Big Lebowski.
He is great in that movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, just imagine an Eastern European putting on the shittiest Texan accent. It's great.
Yeah.
But is it weird that when I was watching that movie, there's a guy in there, don't ask me his real name right now, he was in Friday Night Lights, playing this character called Matt Saracen. He's like the nicest guy in the world. And like for the whole movie, I was just like, Matt Saracen, number 7, go! Because I like that show, Friday Night Lights.
Okay, fair enough. I have neither watched the show nor the movie, and I think I probably wouldn't have watched the movie, but the fact that it then got its own spin-off television show made me not want to watch the movie even more.
I never saw... I've seen bits of that movie on TV. I've never seen the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I have watched the show. The show is worth it.
Like, really?
Really. Like, wow. It is a bit, like, drama and just week-to-week kind of bullshit. But, you know, it's nice. It's fun. It's something that you would watch before you go to work and you wouldn't really think too heavy on. And, of course, there's Virginia in it.
Just, oh, I didn't even know that. That's not a plus for me, by the way.
Whatever.
I watched that movie, so.
sorry. Mike Bracken.
Release the Bracken!
His actual Twitter handle is at Horror Geek, so maybe
maybe
he will release something.
Awesome.
He brought up Takashi Kitano, who is a famous Japanese director who did films like Outrage, and has done a few American films which have all been about like Japanese Yakuza coming to America kind of movies, and I haven't seen them, but I can just imagine the kind of stuff which is in there, and I've been meaning to watch Outrage forever, as well as the sequel, I think it's Total Outrage or Outrage Revenge or something like that.
It better be Total Outrage. That would be the greatest sequel name ever.
No, it's Outrage Beyond. I knew I messed that up.
Ah, it sucks.
Total Outrage is a better name, though.
Yes, it is.
Now that I say it out loud. Takeshi, if you're listening, make the next one Total Outrage.
Yeah, you screwed up on that one, dude.
At Andrew Johnson from Film Geek Radio, he brought up what I kind of feel might be the most obvious choice, and that's Mr. Alfred Hitchcock.
Come on, guy.
He is British.
He is British.
He did make movies in America.
He did make movies in America, so, and he did make really good movies, too. Yeah. But, come on.
So slow clap to you. Slow clap to you, Andrew. Don't worry, you're still nice. And I think the last response comes from Melissa Clay, who brought up a favorite of the podcast, Mr. Danny Boyle.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Who
Danny
we've talked
Boyle
about repeatedly.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like England and the US. Maybe it's because I watch so much British stuff.
Is it because you associated foreign with foreign language as opposed to
it could be that too.
Foreign land?
It could be that. But I'm just when you think of foreign directors, England is not where I go. Yeah. I think maybe the language thing is where
you
it
need
is.
Subtitles to call
yeah,
it a foreign
yeah,
film.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm trying to think, where else would I go? Australia? Would I consider Australia like foreign enough? They speak English. And I'm not sure if I would. So I agree. It might well be the fact that they don't speak another language.
So, I've been thinking about a lot. Yes, I'm ignoring Douglas completely. I'm moving on to actually asking the next question.
Yeah, well, I completed my thought, so you're not ignoring. You're just continuing the discussion.
Right. I've been thinking a lot about theatrical experiences. And
okay.
This idea of the pristine theatrical experience.
Where have I heard this before?
Keep going. This is me ripping Mamo completely. I will point to them, guys, go listen to Mamo because they're better than me. And more than anything else, they're good guys. Go listen to them. But anyways, they were talking about in their show the idea of the pristine theatrical experience. And, I mean, we can attest that being in Jamaica, we generally don't get that. But I'm curious as to whether we really want it. Right? And, but let's be honest here. Take it all away. Mm-hmm. You don't get it in the movies where it's fun anymore. You don't get it in the movies where it's not fun. You get it nowhere. It's yes or no. Right? Do you actually want that? Do you? Because, I mean, there's something special about having that theatrical experience where the crowd kind of all gets together and it becomes a unified experience.
As opposed to
everyone kind of just sighing throughout the movie.
I agree with you 100%. But let me tell you, if you had to ask me a binary question, it had to be yes or no. No backsies. No backsies. You know, no nothing. I would have to say yes, I want that pristine experience. Because I think that the types of movies that I watch, that I would want that movie-going experience with everybody getting together and, you know, screaming at the screen, are few, are limited. I feel so, right? Just based on the movies that I watch, the movies that I want to watch, the movies that I do watch.
That will change when I push you to other movies.
Yeah, perhaps. So, simply going with the law of numbers and the fact that the majority rules, if for the majority of the movies that I at least want to go to, I want to have a pristine experience, yes, I'm going to have to take it. Right? But I would settle with having an experience all the time in a scenario where I don't have to cringe because of the specific responses that are being given. And that's about as much as I'm going to say and as diplomatic as I can be.
Does that include you laughing to Matt Price's laugh and Matt Price laughing to your laugh?
Yes, that was
awkward.
I think
movies.
Well, that wasn't a, was that awkward? I don't think that was an awkward movie, but I think that that experience was priceless.
So this is what I'm saying. We're cutting that out. You can't get that anymore.
No. I know, and that's why I'm saying that if you were to ask me binary, and I lived in Jamaica, I'd have to say, yes, I need the pristine. But if I live somewhere else where perhaps I could cut out some of those responses that I didn't quite want, I would go for the experience. But I don't live in those areas, Andrew.
Okay. All right, moving on.
But what about you? Come on, you have to answer your question too.
Yeah, I have to answer my question.
Yes, you do.
I think I'd take the gamble and I'd say I don't want it.
You don't want the pristine?
I don't want the pristine. Okay. Like if I had to give it up completely, I don't want it. Because I enjoy thinking about not just what other people interpret from films, whether it be that immediate response of, fuck you lady, why don't you get off the screen? Or, geez, why she couldn't just go leave the room instead of getting killed, or whatever rubbish you hear in the theater, and kind of taking it into context of how other people interpret movies, because I know we don't want to think of ourselves as those highfalutin.
Oh
movie
no,
people,
no! I think of myself that way. So there's no want in this. I know that is what I am.
We totally are at this point.
And you know what's strange though is because I see myself as that, but at the same time I don't see myself in the realm of say a Matt Price or, you know, those people who when they speak about things you hear them like use technical terms. You know, you hear them talk about their feelings and emotions in the movie, or the way that the movie was shot, and they sound like they know what they're talking about.
Well, Brown is actually a filmmaker.
Oh, okay. Well, but no, I'm just saying that even goes.
So it kind of hints as to where their technical knowledge comes from, is what I was saying.
Oh, yeah, no, well, that's true. But he was just an example. There are a whole lot of other people who, when they talk, I'm like, oh, really, dude? Come on, I just wanted to enjoy the movie.
Well,
kind of thing.
You see, that's the kind of thing for me where I found myself in between the two,
mm-hmm.
where I want to hear that conversation.
Yeah.
But I also want to hear the other side.
By the way, I also want to say I love Mamo. I'm not like putting down. I'm not putting down either Matt or Matt. either one of them.
This is the Mamo love episode of Tump. Right? This is where we just pour all the love over Mamo, and we'll say that we can't tell them apart anymore.
one wears glasses and one doesn't. I don't know.
That is a reason to distinguish them. But I am still always wanting to hear a bit more casual response to the film. Because, and I think it mainly is because, like how Damien put it, I read the internet. And I get to see a lot of those very detailed, very introspective write-ups about certain films or certain things that go on in the world of cinema today. And I take it really seriously for a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are movies where I want to hear the other side. When I want to see Fast 6 and I want to just hear people go, holy shit, The Rock just flew, and just lose their shit in a movie or when they come out. I still want that moment that I had in high school where I could just lose my shit because the dreaded guys in Matrix 2 showed up. Where you're like, holy shit, they're swords. And stuff like that. So I'm always looking for both sides. And that's kind of why I'm willing to subject myself. Like, it does get ridiculous at times, but more times than not, it doesn't reach that level. Like, I do have a few experiences where I'm like, so I just clocked out. And I think the one that I can always point to is the Wreck remake. What was it called again?
No, it was called
with Dexter's
girlfriend. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't called Wreck?
It was something else. It was a P name, but I can't remember.
Paranoia?
Maybe. I don't remember. The remake of Wreck that had, I think her name is Jennifer Carpenter, who is the sister on Dexter. That movie, like, when I watched that movie, it was, like, you know when you're in a theater and you tend to have, like, one or two people you can see with their phones or, like, talking really loudly to their neighbor, and you will, like, I don't know if you will, but you will look at them and you'll be like, yo, can calm down a little bit. It turned out that it was just around me. It was just everyone around me. And I went, all right, I can't win this one. I'm done.
Yeah.
But more than not, it tends to be like an average. And it works out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just looking at me like, yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I mean,
you're like, you can go into the other room and I'll go into the quiet room.
Exactly, right? Well, it's all about what you expect to get. If you expect to get, you know, reasonable things, and yeah, sure, but I don't expect reasonable from from our community.
Because for 7 years, you have yelled at me and turned the lights out on me when I was in the bathroom and written on me while I was sleeping, because I was Lutz. Dumb, old, uncool, part Inuit, bisexual, 51-year-old Lutz. Well, today, I am the picker. And I want you to feel what I've felt for the last 7 years. Anger and disappointment and regret. And when that sandwich slides out of you in a week, look at it! Because that is Lutz's revenge! Serene, for lunch today, I would like...
But I think what we might just talk about right now is TV. Your favorite topic.
Okay.
And I don't know how much you're going to be able to talk about this right now.
Well, let's see.
Because what I want to talk about is something we did last year, which is talking about new shows.
Okay.
Like new shows that are coming out now and the ones that are like season one premieres, not just the ones coming back like Homeland, which you already love and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are there
Homeland was kind of awesome, by the way.
Are there any new shows which have kind of hit you where you're like, I want to watch more of that? Or I'm sticking with that? Or if like, oh my goodness, this is the next show we're going to be watching?
That's a really good question. I wonder how many new shows I have watched. All right. I think in order to answer that question, I'm just going to have to try and think, what have I watched and do I like it or don't I?
I know the only one for us that kind of intersects is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right. Ah, actually, that's a show that I want to continue watching. The first, like, I know you said you didn't like the first episode, but you are a crazy person. I don't think that this is going to be a great show, but I think this is going to be like a Ben and Kate show.
I think 30 Rock.
How can you put Ben and Kate below 30 Rock? What is wrong
Ben
with
and
Kate, or sorry,
Ben
above
and,
30 Rock
Ben
I mean.
And Kate had a level of consistency which I respect. 30 Rock is not consistent.
30 Rock is extremely consistent. 30 Rock just got a little less good as it aged.
It did not.
30
Rock was effectively as good as Saturday Night Live in the fact in the fact that they are a hit and miss show in joke to joke ratio. Brooklyn Nine-Nine seems exactly like that, where it's going to be moments where we're going to be having like a 20 minute episode which has 10 jokes, and I would laugh at 6 of those, but there are 4 which, no, not really. And that's exactly what 30 Rock was.
Andrew, you are a crazy person. 30 Rock was solid gold for at least, they had what, 7 seasons, right?
I don't know how many.
So if it was 7, at least 5 seasons. Then the 6th one was, and then the last one was kind of like, alright guys, let's keep this going. But I would say that this is going to be, you know, a fun little show to watch, you know, week to week. I don't know if they will or will not be consistent. I kind of see some gaps in terms of the quality. It's not necessarily the best comedy, but it's a fun time. I like that show. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I really love Andy Samberg. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of SNL, and
question.
I am definitely not the biggest fan, I'm the smallest fan.
How long are we willing to wait before Justin Timberlake has to appear on Brooklyn Nine-Nine? A season? Are we willing to
use
the whole season?
No, I'm not.
He has to show up in season 1.
He has to show his ass up in season 1. Even if he's like, in the background sweeping out stalls like he was in that video for Jizz in My Pants or something. I don't know. Because that guy is hilarious. That guy needs to own Saturday Night Live. It needs to now become Justin Timberlake featuring the Saturday Night Live band. Like, that's what that show has to become.
And every once in a while, Arcade Fire shows up.
Sure, yeah. Put on good music. Good music really doesn't matter, because that's like, they kind of just stop the show and they're like, listen guys, we've got music. So make sure there's good music too, but even if there's shitty music, just make sure the comedy is good. And Timberlake tends to do that. I don't think I've watched every one of his, but I need to.
Because, I mean, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but I'm pretty much a relative fan of Lonely Island. I really like Lonely Island stuff.
No. I think Lonely Island is only good when Justin Timberlake is a part of it. I'm being serious. I think there are 1 and 2 like off things that I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. But nothing really. I think I like Lonely Island the way I like SNL, which is few and far between. I'll give it its due. There are some really funny episodes, but there are some really bad episodes as well.
They're full albums.
Oh no! I'm talking about I was talking about SNL for the moment, but at the same time, I know that Lonely Island has full albums, but also, I like Lonely Island songs the way I like SNL.
Okay.
There are some really good songs, but for the most part, it's kind of shitty.
All right, the other show I want to bring up is something that I don't like. Because the truth of the matter is, looking at the TV coming out now, there are not a lot of shows I like. And I've tried to watch a lot of, like, anything I see pop up, which is season one, episode one. I'm like, okay, I'll check that out and see what's going on with it. One which is the first to get the can, which I didn't like, I saw this show called Lucky Seven, which is a Fox show, which I only watched the first episode, and I don't know how I got through all of it. Is a show about this group of people who work at a garage, and they all play the lottery together. They do a pool lottery, and then they win. And it's all about they get their money. Like, I got that far. That's the first episode. I'm not watching anymore. And apparently it's already been cancelled.
Sweet.
The big one that I watched, Sleepy Hollow, which I was forced to watch the first episode of, and apparently it's already been greenlit for a second season.
Shit.
Fucking horrendous. Oh, wow. It's supernatural police officers, and I don't want to watch it.
Wow.
The other big show, which we've both seen the first episode of, I don't know if you've seen the second yet.
I haven't even finished the first episode, if this is what I think it is.
It's the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. I watched the first half hour and said to myself, this is essentially Buffy. This actually looks like
Buffy is not that bad.
Well, no. Yeah, sure, whatever.
It's essentially the monster of the week kind of thing.
Yeah, but like... It looks like Buffy, Andrew. This show looks like it was made in the 90s. And I think that's not a good thing.
I think you haven't watched a show from the 90s for a long while.
I watched Buffy fairly recently.
Really?
Yes.
Why did you watch Buffy?
Because the intern likes Buffy.
Oh. I like her more and more as time goes by. Buffy's awesome. Marvel, not really. It has Agent Coulson, and he's fun. And everyone else is just so generic, and I don't give a shit, and it's just kind of boring. I did like in episode 2, they had literally a post-credit sequence with Sam Jackson in it.
Yes.
Which Sam Jackson just went, I need to make this shit awesome, and he does. And it hints to me the fact that they are going to use this as a marketing ploy throughout movie time. So I expect Chris Hemsworth to show up somewhere around Thor release.
Of course.
Even if it's his hammer alone just popping up somewhere and it making sense. So do I feel guilty if I decide not to watch this and then they make references in the Thor movie or in the next Iron Man movie or in something other movie and I end up missing a joke because I didn't watch this show? Should I feel guilty, or should Marvel feel bad that they decided to kind of strategically place all of these things like this to guilt me into watching it?
So are we going to pay some sort of royalty to Mamo? Because again, I've heard this conversation before.
It just got here because I brought up Sam Jackson and I'm like, shit, this makes sense, let me go here. And I told you, this is already the Tump Loves Mamo episode.
Oh my goodness. Yes, but you know what I want to talk about in terms of new TV shows?
Okay.
So
we're skipping over that. Go.
Yeah. So yes, I think I'm going to still give it a chance, but It's not looking good. But what I really want to talk about in terms of new TV, because there's a lot of TV that I haven't watched. We went to TIFF, we came back, and what I spent a lot of time doing was catching up on TV shows that I had not, or I had missed over the 2 to 3 week period. Plus now I'm watching a lot more movies thanks to Andrew.
Yes. Which is a good thing. Just sitting your ass down going, you're watching this now.
Yes, you are. So much less time for TV show, but there are some TV shows that I really want to watch, and you can put it in the category of really want to watch and think will be good, really want to watch and kind of know it's going to be bad. For me, and I know you've actually seen the first episode of this one, and I'm probably sure you hate it. It's The Millers with my boy Will Arnett. I love Will Arnett to death. He is great.
His name
great.
Is Job.
Job, all right. No, his name is Gob. and I know that show is going to be bad. But I cannot.
Have you watched it?
Not what? No, I haven't.
Okay.
I cannot. Not
I saw
watch
that
show.
Episode yesterday.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it.
Oh wow! I'm happy for that.
It's weird because it is completely a multicam sitcom with the laugh track and everything, which are like indicators that I tend to not like in TV nowadays. Like literally, if I hear a laugh track, I want to turn your show off. I don't know why. It's just something. And worse enough that when I go and watch things like TV Land, I will watch the shit out of all of those shows with laugh tracks and all.
Yep.
But and it has all of those same stupid comedy trappings. It has Bo Bridges in it. It has Jemma Mains.
Bo Bridges.
Bo Bridges plays his father.
Plays his so okay. Okay. Clearly, so clearly Bo Bridges is like the father of the 2000s because he started off with My Name is Earl, then no, he came in with Ben and Kate. No, it wasn't Ben and Kate, sorry. It's the Goodwin Games.
I didn't watch that.
And which, that could have been such a fun show, but it ended up being shit. And now he's the dad in We Are the
and,
in the Millers,
and,
oh my goodness.
A woman whose name I should know, but I don't know. She played.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know who
Mads
you're talking about.
Yep. In season 2 of Justified. Yeah. She plays a mother. And if you don't know the plot of this whole sitcom, is that, well, at least I'm assuming they just did a setup in episode 1, and it's just going to be basically the baseline that all the comedy comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, something to do with the parents get divorced, and the mom now lives with Will Arnett.
The dad lives with his sister,
yeah,
who is Jemma Mays, who I like, but I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a redhead thing? I don't know.
Perhaps. I don't know who that is, so...
Well, you did watch Glee for a while. She was the germaphobe guidance counselor in Glee.
Oh, that girl! Yes, she's also Andre's girlfriend, Andre's fiance.
Yes,
I love that. Yes. The blind fiance. Oh,
yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, I actually kind of liked what was going on in the show. I mean, it is very tame, very whatever. Like you can, like it's some. I think this is why I hate the laugh track, and it's kind of something I don't like when I see in comedy, and which is why I like more single cam, no laugh track. Is that you can see everyone just pause for the laugh in the show. Like it's like when you're watching someone on a stage and they know they have to pause because it's a conscious decision between going, all right, my audience is going to laugh now, right? I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a decision between pushing through to acknowledge the fact that this is a real world that I'm in, or pausing so that they don't miss any of the rest of the jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like that because it ruins that facade that I like. I like when I watch television and movies that everyone has put on a facade to say, you are in a real world, Andrew.
Exactly.
And this is what's really
happening.
And guess
what? If I miss anything, I've got, you know, all the modern technology. I can rewind. Yeah. I can pause, okay?
yeah. And that's kind of why I hate that kind of sitcom. But yeah. Otherwise, the show's kind of alright.
Okay.
I do give it plus points because it has Dirty Dancing references in the first episode.
Yes,
and
you
like
do love
Dirty
that
Dancing.
Movie for some reason.
Do you not like Dirty Dancing?
I don't think I've seen it since I was like 5, so.
Nobody puts baby.
No, I laugh at that because so many jokes. So many jokes have been made of that. That's just not funny. That's immediately laughable. But
she brought a watermelon, Douglas. A watermelon.
Okay, Andrew. Anyway,
I'm going to make you watch Dirty Dancing.
Okay, make me watch Dirty
Dancing.
Maybe
when the intern is around.
Perhaps.
I'm guessing she would like that.
I would assume so, but I really don't know. So, also, no, I really like this guy,
mm-hmm.
right? There was a long time that I thought that I really liked Michael J. Fox simply because he was the backbone of Back to the Future. But slowly but
remember
surely.
Remember when he was in Spin City?
Yeah, I
and
remember
then he
that.
Had to leave for,
he had to leave for Parkinson's.
For who is it that came
oh,
in?
Oh, Charlie
Sheen. Came in for
yeah.
him.
But he... I've watched a lot of his older movies. You know, growing up and actually catching up as well. And even though they're, you know, fluffy, kind of just whatever movies, I really like those movies. And I really like Michael J. Fox. And he has a new show called The Michael J. Fox Show. And I want to watch it even though I'm sure it's going to be bad.
Like, my fear is not that it's going to be bad, like, unfunny bad kind of stuff. My fear is that I'm going to have to sit through a bunch of really not crude, because I'd assume that he'd weed them out, but just awkward to me jokes about Parkinson's.
Perhaps.
Because
yeah.
he's doing it there, because it's a thing that he has now.
And yeah,
everything
yeah.
that he's been in since he started showing Parkinson's, because mm-hmm. you don't really get it, do you? It's just something...
I really don't know anything genetic, about the disease. It? Well, genetic disease can be gotten. I mean, cancer is somewhat genetic, right? You are predisposed mm-hmm. to certain types of cancer, but you don't have it until you get it.
Wait,
so I don't know.
Let's get quiet so the doctor doesn't hear us.
Yeah, but I don't know how that works. I don't
I
know
anything
genetic, about
it. Or at least from my understanding, and by my understanding of extensive knowledge, what I mean is from other TV shows I've seen which talks about I believe it's genetic.
Okay, all right.
From me watching Scrubs repeatedly.
There we go.
I believe it's genetic. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching an ad for it, they put up like a 2-minute trailer for it when like months ahead, mm-hmm. and I watched it because I was like, oh, a Michael J. Fox show, what the hell is that going to be about? Because isn't he done with that stuff? Because he has Parkinson's,
mm-hmm.
and I just saw it coming into the show, and I'm like, I don't want to watch that. Mm-hmm. More bad shows. One that no one should ever watch: The Crazy Ones, the new Robin Williams show.
Oh, okay.
Is it weird that I assumed that it was a morning? It was a sitcom about a morning TV show, and that Robin Williams was like. It's so weird to see Robin Williams do what he did so often in the 90s
mm-hmm.
with all of his voices.
Oh, is that what this show is about?
Yes,
oh.
He's an ad salesman. He's a marketer, and he's literally pitching people by going in and doing what he usually does, which is go. And I'm Popeye, and I'm going like this, and I'm going like Popeye. No, I'm not Popeye. And then I'm this other guy. I'm doing horrible.
Of course you are.
But yeah, and it's horrendous. It has Sarah Michelle Gellar as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so Hollywood. Which TV station is this on?
I think this is ABC.
Okay, ABC, listen to me.
I don't think they need any mentions, because... Not mentions, any tips, because they're fucking up on their own.
No, I know, but I'm going to give them a good tip.
Okay.
So here's how you make this show good. First off, cancel it. Second off, talk to Robin Williams and say, listen, here's what you're going to be on TV. You're going to do the Mork and Mindy show. Like, as Mork has now gotten older. Like, do something like that.
I miss the Mork and Mindy show.
I used to love Mork and Mindy when we watched it on TV Land. That was awesome.
He drank through his finger. That's awesome.
I actually remember very little about that show, but I just remember that I liked it. I remember that, and that it used to... I used to kind of lump it in with... what's it called? Perfect Stranger or something like that.
I don't know what that is.
That's the one with the guy. His name in the show was Valky, and he was like... A long lost cousin from like Lithuania or somewhere like that, and he came and I'm sure it was a bad show, but I enjoyed it again because I was 5 years old. Anyway, another show that I haven't watched, I really want to watch, but I know it's going to be bad. Sean Saves the World. Do you know this one?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so
are we
let's...
going British now?
No, we're not. This is still in the US of A. Actually, I think this is NBC. So, let's start with the bad things. Have you ever watched Will and Grace, Andrew?
Yes.
Do you like Will
and
Grace? Do you like Will and Grace?
I don't think I'd say I like it, but, mm-hmm. you know, I saw it and I didn't care.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Will and Grace, but then I didn't watch it too much, so maybe there are things about it that I just didn't get into. Now, the stars of Will and Grace, are not a part of this show. It is the friend, I can't remember his name, but the Will's guy friend that was in that show, he is Sean. He is the one that apparently saves the world. Now, that is why I don't want to watch this, right? Why I do want to watch this is because it stars two people who I kind of... One, I adore, and two, is related to something I adore. One is Ben's friend from Ben and Kate. He is in this show, and that alone wouldn't have got me. But this show...
Has Tom Lennon.
Yeah, it has Tom Lennon. Andrew, I adore Tom Lennon.
We all do.
Tom Lennon is the genius behind Reno 911, which I still have not watched all the episodes of, which makes me very upset. Very sad.
It generally just makes you a bad person.
It does. But also, he, I think he single-handedly, and this is a just an immense feat, he single-handedly made me like a movie as bad as Young Again or 27 Again or whatever that was called with Chandler.
17 Again. Chandler and Zac Efron.
And somehow I love that movie. I think it's because of Tom Lennon. And so I really want to watch that show, Andrew. But I know that things are kind of stacking up against it. You know that way?
What else do I want to mention? Oh, one show which I think might actually turn out to be good.
Ooh, apparently Southcliffe is a new show on this year.
I might have heard of that show.
Yeah.
There's a show by the name of The Goldbergs.
Yes, I know that show. It stars Jeff Garlin. Yes.
It stars Jeff Garlin. Yes. It is very much The Wonder Years, but in sitcom form, with Jeff Garlin being a crazy dad and stuff like that. And it's narrated by Patton Oswalt, and I generally give everything that has Patton Oswalt's name attached a plus +5. But Patton Oswalt is amazing. And yes, if you disagree with me, I think that's okay, but you're wrong. The show is basically just this retelling of a childhood, and it's set in the 80s, it has all of these things going on, and it looks really funny. Jeff Garlin is amazing. I love Jeff Garlin. There is, I know it's not him, but I swore it was Robert Klein plays a grandfather.
Oh, wow.
It's not him. It's not him, but someone that reminds me of Robert Klein.
Got dancing feet. Happy and feet. I can't remember what that
really
song is.
Really funny. Like, yeah, I don't know how else I can pitch it. It's funny. It seems like it'll be... like.
Oh,
I
have you actually watched the first episode?
Yeah, I saw the first episode. I don't know if it'll be something which I'll watch a whole season of, but because it does seem like that kind of show which would be repetitive a bit.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's turned out kind of good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And every once in a while I can just have Patton Oswalt's voice in my ears. Generally it irks me when Patton Oswalt isn't on the screen, mainly because I was annoyed that he wasn't in the newsroom. He was promised to be in the newsroom and didn't show up.
He didn't show up. Well, when you buy the Blu-ray, I'm sure you'll get the cut footage. And I'm actually upset with you.
What?
Because you're not allowed to like the second season of Newsroom. Because you were so vocal against that show at first. For the whole first year, you're like, this show is horrendous. Fuck Jeff Daniels. Fuck Mackenzie McHale. Fuck that movie.
And then like, Sloane showed up. I'm like, Sloane. Oh,
yes. Yeah, Sloane is definitely... Olivia Munn is definitely a great... like, I was surprised at how good she was in that show because where I know her from and where I remember her from is the bad days of Attack of the Show. Do you remember Attack of the Show, Andrew?
We used to love Attack of the Show. Look, if you want, you guys know because I mentioned it. I did this other podcast called Navigating the Newsroom where me and Andrew Johnson, we talked about the newsroom.
Yeah.
If you go back to the first recording
where
we were going like, we're talking about the show before it starts. So this is before episode 1 airs. And we talked about what we were looking forward to, what we weren't. Olivia Munn was number 1 on the fuck you list of that show. Right? I'm like, stop it, nerd culture. Olivia Munn doesn't like us. Right?
Uh-huh.
She is playing to us because she's pretty. And she doesn't know how to do anything other than play to us. And then she showed up. And fuck yeah, she's amazing in that show. I will now forever leave her alone and love her because she has proven to me that she can act.
So, am I allowed to say that she was also in The Baby Makers?
I know that, and that movie's horrendous.
It is, and I'm so sad about that because another nod to Ben and Kate, Ben in particular, that comedy troupe, The Broken Lizard, I love almost all of their movies, but that one, I don't know. That and what's the other one called? Island Dread or Dread Island or something like that?
Yeah.
Wasn't a big fan of those two, but the rest of them, on point. Love those movies.
On a side note, just completely aside, Twitter just showed up with Ryan McNeil, you know him, tweeting me because we haven't mentioned this. When I went up to TIFF this year, the first thing I did when I went to Ryan before you even reached Toronto was I handed him my copy of Red Belt.
Oh, has he watched it?
He just sent me a tweet saying Dare G-Man Reviews, one of us, Ryan and Lindsay, liked Red Belt. One of us didn't. Guess which is which.
It's clear. Lindsay loves it. Lindsay loves it, and Ryan is a moron.
So, Ryan, when you're listening to this, just know that your tweet came in while we were recording.
That asshole. What is wrong? You know what? I'm going to have to, like, tweet Shane and tell him to just give him a slap for me or something. I mean, that move is so good.
No, this episode we only tweet Mamo to deal with our problems.
Okay, sorry.
Is there anything else we should bring up TV-wise?
Well, I guess, and this is kind of a cop-out, but because I talked about so many shows that I wanted to watch but don't think is going to be good, I think I at least need to give a little bit of payment for the other side of the fence, which is the shows that I want to watch and the shows that I think are going to be good. And I'm just going to say one, because I don't think there are that many of them, but there's one that definitely stands out in my mind, and it hasn't started yet. It's an HBO show. It stars Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, and it is called something along the lines of True Detective. And that show, just for the star power and the acting power behind it, because even, let's forget that there are two really famous dudes. There are two really famous dudes who have proven that they've got themselves some acting chops. And really, you know, I kind of see this going really good places. But actually, I said I was only going to do another one from HBO I need to talk about. And this one now, just for the concept alone, I kind of feel like I shouldn't want to watch this movie because it's taking, not movie, sorry, this TV show, because it's taking what I love from the sunny side of England and bringing it to the States. And it works a lot, and this is HBO, so they'll get some leeway. I have seen both seasons, both series of the British television show called Criminal Justice.
Oh, sorry. And I was thinking about something else.
Yeah, and Criminal Justice, I love that. That was actually where I first saw Ben Whishaw. That's where I said to myself, I like this kid. I need to see more. And I know you like Ben Whishaw too, but for other reasons. You saw him in The Hours, I think was your... Yeah, and that was a great show. I love that show. Mm-hmm. But for me, Ben Whishaw started in Criminal Justice. And, you know, it was just great. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that show. I'm kind of sad because I wonder what's going to happen with it, because apparently they actually already taped a pilot starring James Gandolfini, and yeah, so clearly, you know,
things need to work out.
Apparently they were considering just airing it with him and then changing his character to somebody else, but I think they've decided to kind of scrap that episode and do another one.
So,
again,
mentioning that kind of thing happening, is it weird that I gave up on Glee? I didn't watch season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Season 5 is starting now. But one of the main characters, he died.
Yeah. Corey Monteith.
And they were mentioning the fact that they were going to air like a tribute episode, like the last one that he filmed and stuff and things recently. And I'm kind of curious to watch that episode just to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'd ever jump back on the Glee bandwagon, but...
Yeah, no, I jumped off really quick. I think I lasted maybe a year and a half.
I don't really want to get into the conversation because I know how we've already had that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was just wanted to mention that since you brought up Gandolfini and such. But two more shows that I want to mention and then we'll be out. The Blacklist, fuck that show.
Okay.
It is Silence of the Lambs redone with James Spader doing his version of Hannibal, and fuck that show. I'd like to think that NBC thought to themselves, a Hannibal worked out. We need to do another Hannibal show, but we can't call it Hannibal because that'll be too easy.
Well, when is Hannibal's play? Can I get to watch Hannibal in the next couple of weeks? Probably not.
No,
right?
I'm pretty sure that's like a January show or something. We'd have to check when that airs.
I really like that show.
I do. But they're like, we can't call it Hannibal because people are going to catch on. Mm-hmm. But it's so obviously Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
The other show that I wanted to mention, you bringing up HBO and England and such, Hello Ladies, the new Stephen Merchant show.
Oh, I didn't even know about that show. Once you say Stephen Merchant, I'm down.
It is with Stephen Merchant. He plays a web designer who is in LA and wants to get laid but sucks at it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the first episode and it just feels like very awkward humor that doesn't make me laugh.
Is Ricky Gervais involved
in
any way?
No, I don't. I don't know. I didn't read the credits to see if Ricky Gervais produced or anything, or produced or anything. But he's not in it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
At least not the first episode.
Yeah.
I'd imagine with the
Wait, has this thing started already?
Yes.
Episode one is available. I need to watch it.
It's downstairs. On the DVR. It's on the box.
Yeah.
You can watch it. It just felt like very awkward humor that I didn't really enjoy. It felt like very typical, I'm trying to get a girl and I'm failing humor. You know?
And Gervais and Merchant are very much into the awkward kind of
I want to hurt myself
kind of humor.
It's not even as good as what Gervais does.
Oh, okay.
Like, I love Stephen Merchant, but I've generally only seen him in Gervais-produced things. And when they're working together, and I'm kind of getting accused that maybe Gervais had nothing to do with this, because the awkwardness about this isn't the same.
Well, it's possible, right? Because Gervais was off doing Derek. Even though you have to understand...
And he's also off doing the Muppets, so...
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that.
Gervais is in Muppets
but
too.
Derek... Well, I don't know about the timing, because I know Derek actually...
Something from a while back.
Yeah, exactly. Even though America is just getting it now on Netflix, it was actually airing,
in England,
at least 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that I don't think I like it. I'm going to keep with it because of my fandom for Stephen Merchant and such things, but I don't know. Yeah, and I think that's really it.
Yeah, we've definitely kind of gone on about 500 tangents tonight, and I'm sure this is a really long podcast, and for those of you who have actually reached this point, thank you for listening. And if those of you are Mamo, we love Mamo.
Douglas is like, who are these Mamo people you keep talking about?
Yeah.
Those two. So yeah, thanks for listening. As always, you can hear the podcast over on gmanreviews.com. Douglas, he is DJ, I lost his name on Twitter. I am gmanreviews on Twitter, Andrew Robinson. Send us a comment, send us an email, send us a tweet. Tell us you're listening. Or not. I don't know. Would they send us we're not listening?
Well, you should. If you don't like something, you should not like it loudly.
You can listen to the episodes through iTunes, also through Stitcher, and through any other podcast catching application. I use Pocket Cast, and it's there. But as usual, thanks so much for listening. Good night. Danse avec moi et donne à ma vie tout l'amour dont j'ai rêvé. Toi, tu as demain, te reprendras dans ses bras. Viens, n'attends pas, fleurit mon destin d'un ciel de joie. La chanson, la chanson.